AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So we're joined now by a former AM 950 personality that you might remember from a number of years ago. It's Mark Haney, who used to host the show Minnesota Matters on AM 950. And right now he runs a law firm called Haney Law Firm, which specializes in consumer protections. Mark, good to get you back on the AM 950 airwaves.
Hi, Brett. It's always good to be back, and happy memories of spending a lot of time there with your listeners back when I was when we had our show, Minnesota Matters. So I appreciate you. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, when I first started listening to AM 950, I think this was when I was driving back and forth from jobs at college. I remember picking up AM 950, and I think I even occasionally heard your show. So kind of fun to get that to go full circle now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, now I enjoy listening to you, so.
Oh, definitely appreciate that. All right, so before we dive into some of the topics, because we're going to be focusing on consumer protections and what rights people have amid the COVID-19 pandemic, but before we get into that, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about Haney Law Firm and what you do and what sorts of cases you specialize in?
Yeah, but, well, my law practice is dedicated to consumer protection, which can be a broad category, both in individual cases and class actions. I'm representing consumers, plaintiffs, ordinary people who have had their rights violated by typically big businesses, banks, payday lenders, debt collectors, credit bureaus. And we bring those actions on behalf of individuals. We do a lot under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. We've been spending a lot of our time over the last few years suing the robo-dialers, the robo-debt collectors, the banks that are using robocalls to bother people and attempt to collect debts. But we've taken on predatory lenders for violating Minnesota's usury laws and statutes. It helps people that have had incorrect reporting on their credit reports. Just a whole host of illegal repossession, unlawful repossession, a whole host of things that fall under that category of consumer protection and largely in financial matters.
And frequently, I should say, Brett, that
our cases are typically, we take them we do those on a contingency fee basis. So we're not charging people. They're not paying. They're something that we take out of the back end, our fees, because so many of these statutes, consumer protection statutes, part of the remedy is that the defendant or the wrongdoer has to pay the attorney's fees of the complainant or the plaintiff. So I always want to emphasize that because people should avail themselves of their rights and not feel that legal bills and fees are going to be a barrier when it comes to consumer protection.
Yeah, and that actually leads me into my next question, because I imagine with a lot of people getting laid off for either the first time or maybe getting laid off for the first time in a long time, they're going to be getting those debt collection type calls and might be concerned about what their rights necessarily are. And as you mentioned, when you think about litigation, you think about paying thousands of dollars in legal fees, and sometimes that can scare people away from exercising those rights. And I imagine we're probably going to have folks run into this more and more as the pandemic continues.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think there's going to be tremendous economic fallout for individuals and families because of what's happened. When I was on air, I was practicing law and also on air on AM 950 in the 2008, 2009, 2010 crisis, and a lot of my work, even over the last decade, emanated from the hardships that people had during that period. So I think it's inevitable that this is going to create similar problems. I will say that in preparing for this interview with you and going through all of the executive orders issued by our governor, going through all of the CARES Act, and trying, there is an enormous amount of relief and help that is trying to make its way to individuals and families just as, so, you know, whether it's the $1,200 for families or for people under the CARES Act, or if it's just reprieves from the pressure right now why they may not be employed for 120 days or 180 days, you know. So there's help out there. I wouldn't fault anyone for being confused and overwhelmed by it, because as an attorney, I also am overwhelmed by going through all the different options and things. So I think the important message is for everyone out there, if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling overwhelmed about bills, if you're feeling you can't make payments, you can't, there is likely some type of relief out there, either under statute from the CARES Act, under executive order, or under even something you can negotiate privately if there's a private lender or someone that's outside of the purview of these executive orders in the CARES Act. So I hope people will not become despondent and depressed, which is easy to do in situations like these, and to be proactive in seeking out help and looking for those protections.
Talking at the local level, what sorts of executive orders have we been seeing from Governor Walz, outside of the ones that have gotten, you know, a lot of publicity, like, for instance, the idea that you can't be evicted right now amid this time period? What sorts of executive orders have we been seeing from the governor? Because it's been overwhelming, as you said, when we see these things issued every day. It's tough to keep track.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you hit on a big one, right? I mean, we do not want families and people being evicted and foreclosed upon and foreclosure sales right now during this period of time. So you hit on a very big one with his executive order that forbid those during this period of the emergency. So if someone is facing and that's not to say that every landlord is aware of these executive orders or feels that they need to abide by them. So people need to be aware that those executive orders related to eviction, foreclosure, need to know that they exist, and they need to know that if they are having pushback from lenders, if they're having pushback from landlords, to contact an attorney, contact the Minnesota Attorney General's office, and fight back. You deserve to keep your, and the governor has said you can keep your family housed while during this emergency. The other one I'd talk about is just yesterday, Governor Tim Walz entered or signed emergency executive order 2050, and it simply said that the $1,200 that individuals received under the CARES Act, and I believe they call it they're calling the recovery rebates, are considered government aid based on need. And the reason that language is important is that it makes it exempt from any type of garnishment, meaning that if you are presently under garnishment, or a creditor is has a judgment against you, and that they cannot take those funds, and that you need to let that creditor or creditor's attorney know that you have exempt funds. And interestingly, another part of that, Brett, is that when a person is receiving any government assistance based on need, whether it be food stamps, utility assistance, Medicaid, unemployment benefits, anytime they're receiving any of those things, any earnings or wages that they are receiving are also exempt from garnishment. So what that means is if you receive this $1,200 check, and you had to, I think you had to make under $100,000
right
to qualify, or somewhere around there. If you have received that $1,200 check, for 60 days, your wages and all earnings are exempt from any garnishment, not only the $1,200, but your wages and earnings.
Really?
So if you're still working. And so I want people to know that. That is my argument. It's an executive order. It may make its way into the courts on whether my reading of that right, but I believe in my reading of that, and I would tell anyone who got that check, is also facing garnishment presently, to write to the creditor or creditor's attorney an exemption and say, I receive government assistance based on need in the form of a $1,200 check. And or if they're receiving any other type of government based needs-based assistance, to let them know, because those garnishments can stop and that can make a big difference for people right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we even had a listener a few weeks ago ask that question, wondering if banks could withhold that money if you owe different creditors. That's what I was hearing as well, that
and
the bank
that
could... Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and the answer to that is, under my reading of this executive order, is no. They cannot. That is not garnishable. It can't be levied. It is meant to provide assistance to people. And now, my argument further is that is government-based, is need-based assistance, and that their wages and earnings for 60 days are also cannot be garnished. Or levied.
Would that also apply to any back taxes owed to the government?
Well, taxes are a different animal. Now, there are what I have read, and I will admit that there's so much of this stuff I have not had a chance to read every single rag. My understanding is that the government has suspended any type of reimbursement. Federal government, at least, and I need to check and see if Minnesota have stopped taking any offset from tax rebates or Social Security if you have back taxes due. My understanding is that that has been suspended, but that would take a call to review on the IRS site or call the Minnesota Department of Revenue to confirm that. But there is relief out there for that.
Well, anything else you'd like to highlight among the executive orders that people should be paying attention to? Maybe some of these orders that have flown under the radar that haven't gotten a lot of play in the media that could really help consumers and people borrowers?
Those are the big two. And I think... But I will say there's a flurry of them that are coming out. I went on and I was looking up all the executive orders, and they go on and on. So there is a lot out there right now. But I think we've hit on the two. Now that's not to diminish what the federal government has done in regards to allowing for forbearances on federally backed mortgages. Mm-hmm. That are owned by, you know, Fannie, Freddie, VA. So I think people need to know that there are two elements to this. There are the state laws and the executive orders being issued by Tim Walz, our legislature, but then also a number of things that are coming out of federal agencies too.
So looking at what we've seen at both the federal and the state level, we've certainly seen some consumer protections that have been enacted. But the question is, are these going to be enforced? Because that's where the details really come down to. Because if there's a company out there that's saying, well, all right, if we end up doing something that's technically illegal, if that costs, well, less than paying what the potential litigation would cost, they're going to do that every time. So do we have enough in terms of the enforcement mechanisms to make sure that these executive orders and legislation at the federal level are actually going to be enforced?
Yeah, well, the executive orders all have enforcement provisions within them for civil fines and being enforced by the Minnesota Attorney General's office. So I think it is important to contact the Minnesota Attorney General's office, even the victim of some type of fraud or violation of these orders, because they need to know, because they have the people, the cops on the beat, so to speak, to get out and put an end to it quickly, because if you're experiencing it, it is very likely that others are also. So that's one part of it. Also, contacting a private attorney like myself is something you should consider also, because we have the knowledge and, you know, the ability to see if there are private remedies available to help people that are victims of this. I also wanted to say one other thing, Brett, if I could. Just, you know, there are two parts to this. Anytime a tragedy, if you want to call it that, right now, what's going on economically for people and the pandemic come along, is that we have the government jumping in to respond and to help people. But unfortunately, it also stimulates or creates a lot of people that come out of the woodwork that are committing frauds and abuse and abuse of businesses. I'd really encourage your listeners to be very skeptical of anything they are receiving in their email, their phone calls, their mailbox, from people offering or businesses offering loans and other types of relief that perhaps seem too good to be true, because they usually are. And I don't think that I think people need to have their radars up for anything advertising some program, federal program, or you know, they come in all sorts, these frauds, but people really need to have their antennas up and to protect themselves from getting into things that are scams and frauds.
Oh, most definitely. I can even think back to a text I received a few weeks ago that said, "Alert from the Minnesota Department of Health. A patient has tested positive for COVID-19, and they said they were in contact you within 7 days. Stay at home. We will need to send a test to you." And then it gives you what I'm guessing is a fake website to go to. We're probably going to see lots of those types of things that are going to come out of the woodwork as well.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And I think back to 09, 010, when there was some relief acts issued by Congress dealing with the housing crisis, and then pretty soon the radio mail was flooded with businesses that were playing on that, saying, "Did you know the government set up a plan to help you with your mortgage? Call us, and we'll help you."
And as you're saying, these are just are like actual ads that are airing on media outlets too.
Exactly. So it's the messages to listeners and to people is definitely don't become despondent or depressed. If you're going through a difficult time, seek out the resources, Minnesota Attorney General's office, National Association of Consumer Advocates, the National Consumer Law Center. Find out what programs are legitimately available to you. Look at the executive orders. Find out go to reputable sources to find out the help you can get. And then the second part of that is to stay away from the scams and frauds, and don't allow yourself to be taken in on those. So those are the two parts of this. My website is, if people are looking, is MinnesotaConsumerRights.com. MNConsumerRights.com either will get you there, HaneyLaw.com, and I can point people in the right directions, or if they have cases, I can certainly look at those too. I just hope people will avail themselves of everything that's being done right now to help.
We're speaking with Mark Haney. He is an attorney for Haney Law. You can visit them over at HaneyLaw.com. Also a former host on AM 950 Radio. Mark, a few more topics I want to go through with you, and actually just continuing on, some of the fraudsters, as we're talking about, that are probably going to be coming out of the woodwork, as we're talking about, over the next few months and years probably. What can people do to try to detect whether something is fraudulent or not? I know you were talking about how you can go to a private attorney or look at the executive orders or go to the attorney general's office, because I imagine a lot of people think, well, I have a pretty good radar for determining what's fraud and what's not. But a lot of these scammers are very good at making themselves come across as, legitimate and reputable type of businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think most people think they have a good radar for it. I think a lot of people do have a good radar, but that situations like this with the coronavirus and all the stress and the economic collapse that's happening right now can make that radar not as efficient at detecting things because of kind of the desperation that people have. So I think the first thing is just to be aware that it's an awareness that what you're being told by a company may not be true. what you're hearing on radio or in the mail and things might not be true. You need to find those reputable sources for information. That is how you're going to do it. If you don't do anything without finding a reputable source, and I count reputable sources as consumer advocacy organizations, reputable consumer advocacy organizations like the National Consumer Law Center, the National Association of Consumer Advocates. I count those as the Minnesota Attorney General's office. I count it as the governor's website. Those are the places I want, you know, people to verify what they're receiving or believing. And then the you know, kind of the old the age old rule of thumb is, if it's too good to be true, it is. And so I think people need to focus on that also. And if I can give one other piece of advice, is if, and just as just general, even if you're in a tough situation now financially, call the regular bills that you have. Call your cell phone carrier. Call your internet provider. Call and let them know what's going on and that you can't pay. And they are likely going to make some accommodations, or they are going to reduce bills. I think there's a lot you can do, but you need to be staying directly with reputable sources of information and also going directly to those creditors that you have or companies that you deal with.
When it comes to talking to your creditors, and certainly take this with a grain of salt, I remember seeing this from a Facebook post my friend made. They were saying that you have to use like specific language when you're talking to some of these creditors to make sure that they will make accommodations, something like you need to specifically say that you no longer have income because of COVID-19. Is that necessarily true, or are creditors generally going to give you some type of relief?
Well, the answer is I don't. I've never heard of specific language. I think they're probably getting into, well, the from the top down of the company has come their flow sheet as far as, you know, where do we put people, and the people that have lost their job here will offer this. If they are simply having a cutback on their income, we put them here. This is what we'll offer. So perhaps that, you know, maybe what he's thinking about with specific language. But I think generally calling and explaining your financial hardship and saying that you're going to need an accommodation in order to cancel the account, that usually that will motivate a company to know you're serious, and that if they want to keep you as a customer and they want to keep some income themselves, because don't forget, these companies are also hurting, or some of them, you know, many of them are hurting too. They don't want to lose customers. So I think that if you say, explain a hardship, you tell them that either at a you need some help, or you're going to have to cancel your account, that you're going to find some negotiating room there.
So this is certainly an area you specialize in, and this would be debt collection and sometimes collectors who end up harassing borrowers. Are we expecting to see, well, probably an obvious answer, I'm sure we're going to see more aggressive actions. What can people do to fight back against this? What are their rights when it comes to debt collection now with COVID-19?
Yeah, well, it will be the same. We have a strong federal law called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it protects people from abusive and harassing debt collectors, those, you know, collectors that are collecting consumer debts. The example is, they can't call your friends and family. They can't call your work. They have specific hours during which they can call. They can't harass you. They can't swear at you. They can't claim that you need to pay more than you're legally obligated to pay. They can't throw fees on. The law is too expansive with the restrictions to go through everything, but it is safe to say that that a debt collector cannot treat you unfairly or deceptively. Or they violated the federal law and you're entitled to statutory damages of $1,000, actual damages for emotional distress, and then they have to pay the attorney's fees and costs associated with that. It's a very strong federal law. Now, right now, we're probably in a quiet period, but it is going to, as things get back eventually to normal, whatever normal is going to look like after this, the debt collectors are going to, the accounts are going to make their way to debt collectors, and they're going to start calling, and they're going to be after people, and the abuses will start. Getting calls from debt collectors, letters and stuff, I mean, that's the point where call me. I can talk to you. You know, call my office, MinnesotaConsumerRights.com. There's no fee for consultations, and we do them no upfront costs, and we can protect them. So people should also know that they don't have to tolerate those abuses. And I'll give you examples. I mean, I've had clients who debt collection agencies have been calling their workplaces and embarrassing them there by asking to talk to their bosses, calling family members and telling family members to tell the debtor to, you know, to pay their debts, calling hundreds of times, robo-dialing. I mean, these are all violations, and people should call me and let me know, and I'm happy to talk to them about those.
We've been speaking with Mark Haney of the Haney Law Firm. You can find out more at haneylaw.com, also a former AM 950 radio host. Mark, we're going to have you back on again, because as we were talking about before we even came on air, we could go on for hours and hours talking about some of these topics, but it could be a good idea if we can make this a somewhat recurring feature on the show. I'm sure a lot of folks probably have questions as well.
I would love to do it, Brett. And as you said, I was preparing to talk to you, and I've got a stack of documents, about 100 pages worth of stuff in my desk, trying to boil this all down. So, yeah, I'd be happy to come back on. But again, my advice to people is to seek out the reputable sources and seek for the help, and don't become depressed and despondent over this terrible situation. But there is help out there.
Yeah, most definitely. Can you give out your contact information one more time?
Yeah, they can contact the office, 952-933-9655, or they can go on the website, email me, set up times to talk or to call. The website is, like you said, haneylaw.com, HEANEYLAW.com, or a simpler way of doing it is MinnesotaConsumerRights.com, MinnesotaConsumerRights.com.